Welcome to the Unstick Your Mind podcast on Mimika TV. Get ready to get unstuck, align with your true purpose, and unlock your God-given potential.
A lot of us don't like to talk about our failures, right? But what we don't realize is failure isn't failure. It's just experiments. If we can adopt a way of thinking of like, I'm going to try something and I'm going to learn something in the process, because the only way I'm going to learn of how to make it better is to try and fail. Like, I'm a competitive figure skater, and I only learned to skate when I was 30. So I had to learn the skill way back to basics. And our adult brains are designed to overthink. Like, if you see a kid who puts on a pair of skates, they're like, okay, fall down, get up, do-do-do-do-do, no problem. Whereas adults, well, hang on a second. If I do that and then it's going to fall, then I'm going to hurt myself. Like, what? You know, start talking ourselves out of things because we're overthinking everything. And what I'd realized, you know, after having this experience a couple times over, that if I keep making this failure about me as on a basis of like, this is wrong, something's wrong with me. And this is often what entrepreneurs do, because entrepreneurship is almost like a creation. You're creating something from nothing, and it often comes from the heart or your vision. So if someone criticizes it or something doesn't go well, we make it about ourselves. We make it feel like we are a failure, like we are inherently bad or we did something bad. So I had to learn along the way that being an entrepreneur, it's you got to roll with the punches. You've got to be prepared for the good, the bad, and the ugly. But even so, I've learned to see the good in the failures and the experiments, because they've got me closer to where I want to be. So I've been a website designer, I've done online marketing, I've been a book publisher, a photographer. I had a studio that I ran for 12 years. And now pivoting to an online business model has had its own ups and downs, and having to learn and experiment and try. But here's the thing I've realized through all those processes is that I always have to be teachable. If I'm stubborn about an attitude of like, well, I did that in my last business, or this, I did this before and that worked, so I'm not going to do something new, that is really where things didn't work. So when I've been able to adopt an attitude of say, okay, what can I learn from this? This might not have turned out great. Clearly what I was doing wasn't working. And Einstein says doing the same thing over and over, expecting a different result, is called insanity. So if I didn't want to have the same results, clearly I had to have a different approach. So really, the failures really taught me more about what needed to be done. And it also sort of test of character that we often don't think about, that I'm actually stronger, more mature, more capable and able to take on the next level of experience or the next challenge, because I've learned by building that muscle that it's not necessarily failure, it's actually a learning curve. So to me, that's been the biggest thing, is just being teachable and being willing to learn from others, and also being ready to burn the ships. Sometimes when you learn that maybe this isn't working, and in a society that makes it sound like giving up is bad, sometimes it's good to give up when you know this is not working, I'm not heading in the right direction, time to cut my losses and to pivot in a new direction. It's an internal struggle that really comes down to being true to yourself. And this is the thing, is we can look online and see all the things and all the fancy funnels and marketing hacks and strategies. Oh, you just do this and your business is going to magically have clients overnight, you know, as if it's like a commercial. That's not the truth of what we see. And that's what is wrong right now, is that people are not being truthful about really what's happening, and what's worked in the past isn't working right now. And we have to be willing to be able to pivot. But often what I find when I work with people is that they have this disconnect between what the head wants and what the heart wants. And the spirit, and that's what I'm so passionate about, is we have to get back in tune with who we are on a spiritual level, because our spirit, which is our purpose, our desire, our wants, our needs, it's kind of like your internal compass that says, this doesn't feel right. Like, you're doing this feels icky, or this isn't the person I should be serving. I feel like I'm in the wrong room. Like, hello, I got off the elevator on the wrong floor. Like, what am I doing here? And that's that sense of, I've got to keep up appearances. I've got to pretend that everything's fine. We're back in the day, behind the scenes, I'm miserable, tired, burnt out on the point of breakdown. And that's a very sad place to be, because it's very hard to come back from a complete crash and burn than to allow yourself to see the signs and to pivot before we get there. by being true to ourselves. So, and this is a challenge, is are we willing to ask ourselves those hard questions? Have I started this with the wrong intentions? Or so-and-so seems to look like she just did this one thing and look how her business flourished. We don't actually know if that's true. I mean, are they making 6 and 7 figures? They say do this and make 6 and 7 figures, but are they being for real? At the end of the day, we have to really get back in tune with our own intuition, with our own spiritual sense of, and you know, for me I'm a Christian coach, so I work a lot with Christian women who have that sense of faith and know that a lot of it is coming into alignment with who you are, who God made you to be. So we stop the pretense, we take off the masks, we stop pretending to be something we're not, because that is what creates exhaustion, frustration, burnout, and business failure is when we're not being true to who we are. What is worth it to you? What do you value? But sometimes we don't ask ourselves that, like the busy entrepreneur who's now running a multi-million dollar business, who's running the treadmill, who feels like, stop the train, I want to get off. This isn't bringing me joy. I'm sacrificing my family, my marriage, my whatever, in the blanks. But are we willing to ask ourselves hard questions and getting back in touch with that? Usually those who identify with doing a lot of things and achieving a lot of things, and maybe in a quicker way than maybe most people. But it comes at a cost, right? High performance comes with pressure. High performance also comes with higher expectations of yourself and of others. And high performance often comes with perfectionism, people pleasing, and burnout, if not corrected right? Because it's not about just doing things for doing the things. It's this internal drive. And oftentimes I look back and I find this fascinating. That's why I love to hear about people's stories. It's oftentimes based on how we were raised. So oftentimes, you know, for people who are high performance, it's like they feel like they can't stop. And sometimes it is a brain thing. Like a lot of my clients have ADHD or have had those kind of issues, kids, or never can sit still, or feel like they always got to do stuff. But at the end of the day, it's learning to go slow so you can speed up. So part of what I love to teach people is you feel like the more you're speeding up, the faster you do things, the longer the to-do list, especially women love the list. Like, let me do more stuff. And my whole approach is the opposite, is let's burn the list, get you to do one thing. Kind of like the concept of you're standing in a forest and you want to cut down some trees, but you have like this butter knife and you're going around trying to whack at all the different trees and you're trying to get them all to, you know, a little bit of a chip here and a little bit of a chip there, and you're running yourself ragged. Where if you were just given a very sharp axe and you stood in front of one tree and you hacked at that tree until that tree fell down, feeling productive. But what we tend to do is we tend to wear busy as a badge. Look at me, I'm so busy. I'm so busy. I'm so busy. I'm so important because I'm busy. I'm so busy. Oh, I can't have time for that because I'm so busy. And we have to ask ourselves the deep question, why do I feel like I have to be busy to feel important? Do I not feel like what I'm providing or what I'm offering the world is value? Like, what is the one tree I need to stand in front of and stay here and work at it until I get to the root of what is causing the tree to grow? Because a lot of, you know, I like to align. Dr. Caroline Leaf is also South African, neuroscience, great stuff. She also describes as our brains as trees. So if you think about your thoughts as trees, you know, we often are dealing with the fruit, the symptoms, the anxiety, the fear, the perfectionism, but we don't often want to look at the root of why this tree is growing in the first place. And it takes a little bit of work. And for anyone who loves gardening knows, when you're doing some gardening, you got to get out the weeds. And sometimes it's a little hot and sweaty and hard work, right? It's not the prettiest. It can get a little ugly and uncomfortable. But it's necessary. Because if we really want to build a garden that's going to grow and be fruitful, we have to realize that the work needs to be done to get things out of our lives or our minds that are not serving us. And to come back to that sense of calm. What can I do that's less, that's going to create more in my life? Which is often a strange concept to tell someone who's a high performer who has the opposite thought of the more I do, the more effective. I know this is a very interesting concept to start a new skill that I had no experience with as a child in my 30s. But it's one of those dreams I'd always had, oh, I'd love to figure skate. growing up in South Africa, we didn't really have access to rinks because it's super hot out there. You know, swimming pools, yes, ice rinks, no. And it's one of those things that, you know, when we moved to the USA, I was like, you know, what is the one thing I really want to do? And instead of putting it on the shelf, because a lot of us as adults, we think, well, I'm all grown up now, so I can't do those things. And the one day I was like, well, why not? What is stopping me? It's just me, really. What am I worried about? And at first the kids were like, oh my gosh, mom, you in a leotard? No, I'm like, listen, I look hot in a leotard. So if you have a problem with me in a leotard, that's your problem. I'm not going to worry about what you think of me doing what I love to do. And it did take a little bit of being brave of putting myself out there. But my whole concept was, if this is something I really wanted to do, I'm the only one limiting myself. You know, am I willing to learn? And the reason why I do it, I mean, I'm now mid-40s, so I've been doing it for about 12, 13 years. What I've learned about this process is that it takes time. Us adults overthink everything. So I have a coach that I've worked with for 10 years. So every Tuesday, she's like, see you on the rink. And she's like, I don't care how you feel, you're going to show up and do the work. So even the days like when I was sick or I didn't feel great, I was like, I know that I'm having a commitment to myself. This has nothing to do with business, but this is a challenge, a personal challenge to, can I show up for me? Because I, you know, that going back to that point is that I had made my business my life. In actual fact, my old business, photography, was my hobby. I used to love doing photography. And I fell in love with it because it was my passion and I made it my business. But when my passion became my business, where the passion went out the window and I kind of lost sight of why I live to do things creatively. So I think it's really good to either have like some kind of hobby or something you do that is not business related because it keeps you teachable. It keeps you in the place where you're like, I'm an amateur. I need to learn and I'm going to fall down and this might hurt, but I'm going to keep doing it again. And again and again. Figure skating is one of those things that's when you perform, it's perfection or bust. And you only get awarded the points for doing it right. But to me, the biggest blessing and the biggest treasure is in the learning. I've learned that sometimes it feels like two steps forward, one step back. But every time, as long as I'm moving, I'm putting one foot in front of the other, even though I might feel like I'm back to where I was 2 years ago, it's just learning the basics, going over the process and just trusting the process that it'll take me to where I want to be. And I've taken that application business that even though I want things now and I want things overnight and all this, I should do this and start having a flurry of clients. I know the process of real life is that it takes one step, trusting the process, showing up all the time and knowing that just because I fall down doesn't mean I'm going to stay there. I just need to pick myself up and keep going. So it's more like the resilience of life is going to be ups and downs, but I'm just going to keep swinging and keep going at it. Well, I had big butts, I tell you, lots of big butts, and they don't lie. They are for real excuses. But what I'd realized is if I didn't take time for myself, for self-care, to fill up my cup, I wouldn't have anything to give out. And this is inherently the problem with entrepreneurs is we pour out and out and out, and we think the more we give, the more we give, that we're going to get closer to our goal. But what happens is, we actually have the opposite effect. So for me, I'd realized that I had that desire in me that I really wanted to do this. And all the years I'd talked about it and never really did anything, would just keep going. And I would get, it felt like I was getting further away from what my heart's desire was. But it's amazing that once I had said, you know what, how about you just let yourself try? Because here's the truth. People will find the time and they will make the money for things they really value. Because there is no amount of anything out there that you can't make happen if you're not determined to make it happen. If you want to buy a new car and you know this is what you really want, you will make it happen. You will find the way to do that. But what happens with entrepreneurs is we get our identity from our business. I'm an entrepreneur, so therefore that's who I am and who I am as a person. And that's a dangerous place to be because when your business fails or something goes wrong, then you make it about you. And you're like, well, I'm terrible. I'm awful. So I've failed. And I'd realized that you have to have that separation between the business is what I do and who I am as a person is I'm not a failure, but the business failed. And yeah, you have to allow yourself, just like anything, to go through periods of shame and blame and having the hissy fit and have the little, you know, pity party in the corner. But then we need to realize that the business isn't my life. Unless you have a completion point, or allowing your brain to go, I achieved this, so now I'm going to celebrate, enjoy this. It's like you forever have your finger in the plug and you're going to get electrocuted. So we have to allow that ourselves that downtime. And I mean, a great example is if you've ever watched Netflix or anything online and you binge watch, you often wonder, why is it I can't put this book down, or I can't switch the TV off and have to keep watching? It's because your brain is being triggered, and we call this the open loop, open closed loop. So when you're designing, writing a story, or our TV background would be about, how do we keep people watching? How do we, like even now with social media, it's designed to hack your brain to keep you stuck and focused on whatever you're doing. And if you think about it, we don't have completion. We don't have any closure. You watch a program, it starts with a conflict. You see the characters going through something. And then what happens is they conclude that conflict, but before that episode ends, they open the loop for the next conflict, but then they leave you on a cliffhanger. Oh, I got to see what happens. I got to see what happens. And your brain is like, it's almost like it's addicted to that, got to see, got to see, got to see, got to see. So this is why it's so important to allow ourselves to take a step back and say, I need to close the loop. I did this, I did my work, or I need to celebrate. I mean, why as humans do we have weddings, you know, commencements, graduations, funerals? Because it's our human nature needs closure. We need to allow ourselves to do something, know that we've achieved it, close the loop, finish it, and then give ourselves a pause. And in the pause is where the restoration happens. So if you are constantly looping from one thing to another, your brain is getting taxed. Physiologically, you're taxing your system, your adrenals, your whole physical body can be affected. And the problem is there's no end in sight. So you have to decide to hit the pause button. You have to decide to have, I'm closing this down, or I'm giving myself a break. So for me, even like I could very easily have the excuse that, you know, I don't really want to go skating today because I've got so many emails to answer. And oftentimes sometimes I'll admit I can be a little late. And she's like, I'm watching you. She says, you're there on Tuesday. Your commitment is to yourself first and foremost. The rest of it will find its way. But as entrepreneurs, we make this about ourselves as an identity piece. And we think that if I'm not working hard enough, I'm not enough. I'm not good enough. I'm not important. When is enough? When are you going to decide that you're valuable enough to take the time out to do the things that make your heart sing, to do the things that refresh you? Because here's the thing, you can't pour out from an empty cup. You can't keep putting your foot on the gas of the pedal when you have no more gas in the tank. You're just going to damage the vehicle. What never changes is in business and in life is relationships and trust. No matter what kind of tool, hack, strategy, app, web, you know, software program you use, nothing changes when we come to trusting each other and relationships. Like even though I was in online marketing for like 7-8 years and learning all the things and all the hacks and all the strategies and all the tools, those are just the things we use. But at the end of the day, business is people doing business with people they know, like, and trust. And trust has become a very important commodity now. Well, it's like everyone's like, well, I'm not going to give you my attention. That's what's got harder is before there were a few methods of reaching people and you needed a few touches. Now there is so much noise out there that you need to go further and longer and be more consistent in order to build that trust. So for someone to even trust you with their money or to invest in anything that you have, people are wiser and are more savvy now. They're not going to fall for these old tricks. Like, you know, I am so anti-mass marketing approach, this fear-based marketing. Like, you're going to miss out on this. You better sign up at this date. And I'm like, no, life happens. People are in different stages in life. And to shove everybody down this sort of sausage machine expecting to get the same results is like, it's impossible because everybody is different. It's like, you give a recipe to 5 different chefs, that's going to turn out differently, right? The same thing with your business approach. And here's the thing is that, you know, we can't rely on old methods. We have to be teachable. We have to be able to pivot and to learn and to say, what is it that I need to do different? Maybe this worked back then and it's not working now. That doesn't mean it's a failure on me. It just means things are different. Things have changed. Am I mature enough and willing enough to say, this is time to walk away from this? Or maybe I need to learn something new. You know, as the more seasoned you get, you sometimes there's a bit of pride that comes in and we're like, oh, well, I know my stuff. Like, she can't teach. And having your ego in your business is very dangerous. It's very difficult for you to really see the truth of what's needed. And this is what happens is we get clouded by our own perceptions. And that's why you need somebody else, like a coach or a partner or people who will be honest with you and say, it's time for us to change. Like, hey, we had this marketing strategy and it's not working anymore. We actually need to be willing to take the advice and to look at it. I think trust doesn't go out the window. Relationship building, even in this online world, like a lot of people I talk to now are so allergic to like the all the apps and the platforms and the dings and the notifications. Like our brains are in overload. And I think going forward, we really are back to the old school methods of connecting with people. But we are now have the task of having to work harder to build their trust. We have to be able to be more consistent. Are we going to keep pulling ourselves, get it back up again, even though we fall, doing it again and again and again? That doesn't go out of trends either. It's just showing up. And where I see things changing now is people are getting tired of the facade of let's pretend that everything's great. People really want specificity of their particular needs and they want connection. They want to connect with people who they know, like, and trust and who are like them. So I really think I see us going back to valuing more of that, what we call the tribal mindset. Like, I'm growing up in South Africa, you know, we have 11 official languages and we all have these different ways and a mixed culture. But what I remember about the African culture is this whole tribal mentality of you, the people in the tribe are there to lift you up. When you're having a bad day, like whether it's, you know, raising children or if you needed support. And I think that's where people are yearning for is we might be the most connected in terms of, you know, being able to connect with everybody, but we're actually the most disconnected generation because we have lost that connection to people. And really get back to questioning ourselves, like, are we teachable? You know, are we willing to learn the things that are maybe hard and uncomfortable and might be a little messy and embarrassing to talk about, but maybe there's something we need to learn? And are we willing to go the long haul and be able to see through relationships and like stick with someone and, you know, not just expect the quick fix, but go back to valuing what we all value is the relationships and getting to know people and letting them know you. So I really just think that's kind of like we've done a full circle in life. Well, really, if you think about it, the world has experienced, I mean, most people have some changes in their life, maybe one or two major shifts in their life. And for me, I mean, I've immigrated 3 times, I had 4 businesses. So my husband and I have had these ups and downs constantly, like the challenges. And what I've realized is that it is a muscle you got to develop. But what's happened in the last 2 years is people have been forced to deal with so much change in such a short space of time that they aren't equipped for it. They haven't built the muscle. They haven't had the time to process it. And that's what's creating all this overwhelm and anxiety. I mean, what do they call last year? The Great Resignation. How many people left their jobs? But I've always said, you know, the rat race was due to be canceled. It was time that people start to connect with who they are really and want to be. Because can you imagine if everyone was working in alignment with who they were supposed to be? It would be amazing. So yeah, coaching is what I love to do, but I like to approach it from a training perspective. And things like, we got to do the hard work, honey. It might hurt and you are going to cry and you are going to sweat, but there is no false promises. It's all about what you are prepared to do with your life. Because I truly believe that you have to take 100% responsibility for 100% of the result and realize that the circumstance isn't what creates your happiness in life. It's your thoughts about yourself and the circumstances that is key to your success.
Are you ready to change your brain to change your life? Discover how to break limiting beliefs, stop self-sabotage, and unlock your full potential by rewiring your brain using neuroscience, coaching, and faith-based principles. Come and join my coaching program, Unstick Your Mind, today.